Football Weekly with James Richardson in association with SportingBet.com.
6:05 BST. It's Football Weekly and it's live. Yes, with the exception of clear and concise punditry, anything could happen in the next 35 minutes as we tackle a huge weekend in the game of football. There's Premier League Super Sunday, an incredible Manchester derby. Fletcher and Bellamy with the braces, Michael Owen with the winner, and Ryan Giggs with the finest deliveries since they dumped manure on Jeremy Clarkson's drive. Cool, blimey, there's the London derby too as Chelsea spank Spurs. That's not all. There's fancy continental footy too, the Sheffield derby and a little lower league roundup, posts and tweets and much, much more in this special, free from fiddles and interference, Football Weekly. Hello all and welcome to what is eventually our first ever live pod. Hope you like our new direction. With me here, Rob Smythe.
James, hello.
Hey, Rob. Is it true we were waiting for you to turn up?
It might be true. Yes. Yeah, right, I'm sorry then. About that.
No problems at all. Delighted you could make it. Top orchard botherer, Barney Rone.
Hello.
Hi, Barney. And Jonathan Wilson.
Hello.
Whose floating tank of brain is covered with all sorts of travel stickers from the likes of Zagreb, Ukraine, and Beyonce's backstage locker room.
That's not quite true.
Not quite true. Tell us more later, perhaps.
Okay.
All right, then. Because, of course, the big thing this Sunday evening is the events there at Old Trafford. Very, very shortly we'll be hearing from Kevin McCarra, who's somewhere between here and Manchester. Just to let you know that you can get in touch with us here on Football Weekly with tweets, emails, etc. football.weekly@guardian.co.uk is the email address. So Twitter, use the FW Live hashtag. There you go. Or you can just go through the Football Weekly page. Many thanks for your patience sticking around, because you did have to endure that loop of me at 6 o'clock onwards. So anyway, your comments extremely welcome. And one other thing I should mention. If you want to make or read comments, be sure to open the comment section in another window or you'll lose the stream, which would be tragic. Now, Sir Alex Ferguson was asked, will City become the biggest team in Manchester soon? He said, not in my lifetime. He must have been sweating a little bit this afternoon at Old Trafford, Rob Smythe.
Well, yeah, it was extraordinary, wasn't it? City just wouldn't go away, even though United dominated. They just kept equalising until they ran out of time to equalise. But it was an extraordinary match, really. Not, I don't think it was a high-class match, but it was incredibly dramatic. So many stories and twists.
I think Rob's right. The extraordinary thing about it was City's spirit for me. They just kept fighting and kept coming back. And it's a funny thing, it reminded me slightly of Chelsea, another team who spent big to throw together lots of players. And it's almost as though it's wagons in a circle and we're going to show we're not just a billionaire's plaything.
Maybe you can buy team spirit.
Well, Barney, you were on minute by minute, so you won't have seen anything of the game, unfortunately. Jonathan, let me ask you then. From City's point of view, where does this leave them?
I think they can be relatively pleased. I mean, obviously not pleased with the result, but pleased with performance. And I think the thing they must be thinking is, how much better could it have been had Adebayor been there? And, you know, I don't want to kind of reopen the whole Adebayor debate, but they really did lack an outlet ball. And so that first half hour of the second half, you know, every time he cleared the ball, he just kept coming back, because Tevez, for all his work rate, he just doesn't hold the ball up in the way that Adebayor can.
Think Tevez stayed on too long? He hadn't played
possibly.
Bridge, and I thought he tired really badly.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
Having been absolutely brilliant in the first half.
Do you think something about Tevez has become slightly obsessed with his own closing down and his own work rate? It's like showboating.
Is that because he realises he doesn't have much else to offer?
No, I'm sure he does. How can you say this, guys? How can you say this?
He's a limited player.
He looks a limited player compared to what he was previously in his career. I think he's addicted to the cheers of the crowd every time he closes someone down.
All very interesting. Now, actually at Old Trafford, lucky chap, was Kevin McCarra. He's now on his way back to his domicile in London. I wonder if we can get his thoughts on an extraordinary match of football. Kevin McCarra.
Yes, I can't tear myself away, James. I'm actually in the car park of Dreams outside the Theatre of Dreams at the moment.
Wow, fantastic. Oh, what's the scene there in the car park, Kevin?
Well, I mean, the burger and fry stalls are closed. There's some rather big bins being brought round with the rubbish left by 70,000 people in them. So it's a great scene, really. I don't really want to go home.
Right. What do you emerge from? What do you emerge from Old Trafford with, Kevin?
A feeling that Man City excelled in the first half. I think for all their spirit, they weren't half pinned down in the second half. I don't think it was entirely due to Tevez not being an outlet. I don't know what Rob means. I'm not a huge Tevez fan. I thought he was very good today, considering he'd had a knee injury, making his involvement in doubt. But they became very, very vulnerable. It could have been more than four goals for Manchester United had it not been for Shea Given's excellent saves. Maybe to no one's great surprise, United began to make inroads down their left against Micah Richards, and I thought Giggs was absolutely lethal.
Mm, absolutely. Michael Owen looks a pretty smart signing now, hey?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a great finish, great pass from Giggs. I think the question is, can you see him starting? And it's hard to see how that's going to happen, the way the team's set up at the moment, and whether he'll be satisfied being some sort of super sub. But I think that, at present, that's all you can see, because he doesn't really take part in the game, and he can't play as a target man. And United, like most teams, only want one forward nowadays. So I don't know where he'd fit into a starting lineup. But nonetheless, he's a hero tonight.
Mm, indeed so. Kevin, when's the last time you saw a game as exciting as that one? was it exciting in the stadium? It looked a blinder here in Nearer Thorbit.
It was a very exciting game. I suppose Liverpool coming back to win the European Cup was that kind of game, wasn't it, against Milan? But not exactly like that. But you didn't know where it was going. I really, had Tevez scored instead of clipping the post towards the end of the first half, the outcome might have been different.
Mm. Well, indeed so. Indeed so, Kevin. Brilliant. Well, listen, happy trails back. Many thanks. Look forward to welcoming you back in person into the pod soon.
Okay, thanks, James.
Thanks,
Bye.
Kevin. Now, Rob, you just waved an exciting piece of paper. Do you want to get onto that now, or was there something else?
Well, I was going to put the added time fast. Oh, yeah. Possible.
Well, I tell you what, Murgundy says, is the panel at all surprised? And Murgundy, you tweeted or posted in almost live. What?
Can we please just put, basically, it's a minimum.
Can I just say what he said?
You can if you
want. All right, then. That United scored their minute, is the panel at all surprised that United scored their winner in the sixth minute of 4 minutes of injury time per Lees, Rob?
It's not 4 minutes, it's a minimum of 4 minutes, which takes you up to 4 minutes, 59 seconds.
Right.
Chuck in 30 seconds for a substitution.
Yes.
80 seconds for Bellamy doing a thoroughly inappropriate aeroplane celebration. And you have a lot more than 6 minutes. It's not even an issue here.
Do you add time on for goal celebrations?
Yes, you do, because the play didn't resume until 91 minutes, 20 seconds. Bellamy scored after 89:54, during which celebration the official rate added showed the ball for 4 minutes. 30 seconds because Carrick came on for Anderson.
Right.
The surprise is that the referee didn't add more time.
It is a surprise, isn't it, Jonathan?
Well, this is something that actually just generally annoys me in football, that added time is supposed to be what the referee judges as being wasted or lost during the game. Hmm. And so why would it fit into chunks of a minute?
They don't round it up or down. It's a minimum of.
And I'd far rather that you got 5 minutes, 27 seconds or whatever it happens to be that is actually accurate. He's got two watches on. One of them, he should be stopping the watch. Hmm. Even this mandatory 30 seconds for substitutions, no, don't do that. Stop it when the player goes off and start when the player comes on.
I agree with that because substitutions normally don't take 30 seconds. So you could argue it was quite crafty from Ferguson to put on a sub and get an extra 20 seconds if you wanted to read it that way.
If you wanted to. What about this Craig Bellamy photo you were just waving at me?
Oh, I've got a picture of it here.
Right.
It's a picture of Craig Bellamy gently caressing.
He's hitting a fan,
Well, it's not clear in a still. He could be, I don't want to, but from the picture, it looks very much as though this man is being held back by two quite large stewards.
Right.
While Craig Bellamy sticks one on him.
Right.
But I'm sure that he learnt a lesson from it.
Rob, is this a big story?
I suppose it is. Footballer with slightly heavy past, chins fan.
Now, what happened? This fan came on to celebrate.
He came on to celebrate the goal.
Which goal?
The Owen goal.
Oh,
Bellamy's.
Yeah.
He didn't chin one of his own fans.
Never know.
Two stewards held him back, and Bellamy kind of, waited until he was unable to respond and chinned him.
Isn't this typical of Bellamy's career?
Yes.
He has an excellent game today. He scored two really good goals.
Yeah.
And then he does something stupid at the end of it to spoil it.
It's a massive shame, isn't it? I was going to say that if Wayne Rooney had put on the same performance we saw from Bellamy today, fantastic goals, never stopped running, we'd be saying he was the best player in the world.
And well, when it's a battle with big clubs, he likes to get involved. Just ask John Arnorita, of course. But it was an extraordinary pair of goals. The second, was it the first? One of them was brilliant.
First was brilliant. The second was very well taken, despite two very bad errors, John.
Right.
So. I think the other strange thing is, of course, the reason he fell out with Graeme Souness at Newcastle was that Souness was asking him to play wide. Plays wide today, looks fantastic.
Yeah, and as he has all season, by all accounts.
Hmm. What about that fellow Ryan Giggs? As Kevin was just mentioning, absolutely imperious performance, and not the first this season.
Absolutely. In the second half, he was stunning. Not only because we've kind of come to expect him to be a very good passer, but he was going on really sinuous runs he used to do when he was in his 20s. Just extraordinary.
Ferguson moved him forwards, didn't he, in the second half? I looked at the chalkboards, actually, funny enough. And he's playing only in City's half in the second half, and he looked fantastic.
Yeah. City, I've got notes here, City with more problems with Giggs than Milli Vanilli. I'm not sure what that means. Anyway, all that, we haven't even mentioned Darren Fletcher and his brace. Well done, Darren. But you know what? It's live. We're running late. Let's move on then to Chelsea Spurs. After the Lord's Mayor show, as John Ashton dubbed it in his Minute by Minute. But it came alive this in the end. Spurs took another hammering. Last week, 3-1 against United. This week, same scoreline in the end, wasn't it? Against Chelsea.
Apart from...
Oh, no, they had the goal ruled off. Yes, ruled offside, didn't they? Okay. So there you go. Now, Jonathan, you were saying you didn't fancy Chelsea while we watched the first half of this game.
I think they were impressive second half today. You wonder possibly would they win as easily if Ledley King hadn't gone off, which forced Choluka into the middle, and he clearly had problems dealing with Drogba. But, I mean, yeah, that notwithstanding, it was an impressive second half performance from Chelsea. I can't dispute that. What I would say is I do wonder what effect the African Cup of Nations will have. I think it's an ageing squad. I think they looked old over Christmas last year after 3 or 4 months of...
No, I was just going to say, the theory about the African Cup of Nations is that they've got an easy fixture list during...
Well, they have during January. They've got Hull, Sunderland, Birmingham, Burnley during January. But I think people look at the dates of the African Cup of Nations and look at them too rigidly. The African Cup of Nations runs from January 10th to 31st. But there's a knock-on effect after that, that any tournament you play in is exhausting, both physically and emotionally. You possibly push yourself slightly harder in a tournament than you would do in a normal league game. You might, as I think Kolo Touré was 2 years ago in Ghana, you might be tempted to come back and play as he did in the semi-final for Ivory Coast against Egypt with a groin problem that, had it been a normal league game, he'd have said, no, I'll have another couple of weeks off. So there's those changes. But also, the African Cup of Nations in particular, is it draining tournament? It's draining for journalists, so God knows what it must be like for players.
Mm.
Angola in January will be hot, it will be humid.
Paul Doyle seemed to enjoy it. But you know.
Paul Doyle...
He returned revitalised, I think.
It is different.
Indeed, it is. I take your point. All right, well, that's Chelsea then, and obviously there's a Drogba injury, although we think it might not be as serious as he was making
out. Well, he was stretched off about 5 minutes to go, clutching his knee, and it's very difficult to...
Do you think he might be all right? I think he might be all right.
Possibly.
But from Spurs' point of view, this was the season they were going to try and... walking through the front door of the big four private members club, but Manchester United last week, Chelsea this, they're being frog marched out again.
Well, I think, to be fair, I don't think they've ever said they were going to burst into the top four. I mean, they've had a very good start to the season. I don't think Harry Redknapp got a history particularly of finishing in the top four with his clubs. I mean, they've done very well and they've got a good squad, but they're not really ready to be beating Chelsea yet.
They weren't too bad today. They had a few chances at 0-0, should have had a penalty at 1-0, and then, as Jonathan says, King went off and the game just kind of went away.
I think it should have been a penalty for Robbie Keane.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And a couple of big injuries then, Ledley King and then Sebastian Bassong.
Bassong looked quite bad. He was in a neck brace. Mm. Yeah. And King went down immediately. That's not good because, obviously, they're already without Woodgate and Dawson.
Huh.
So that is a problem.
It's a problem indeed, eh? Huh. Well, there you go. Hope you're enjoying this there at home or by your computer or wherever. Still to come in today's live pod, unless you're listening on Monday or Tuesday, in which case Football Weekly as usual. There's the rest of the weekend's Premier League news, a look at the latest from around Europe, and, of course, your messages, many of them coming through to us here live. Excellent.
Football Weekly from The Guardian, in association with SportingBet.com.
Yeah, that was my fault for forgetting to wave to producer Ben to play in the music. Now, part two. You can get in touch with us here. Did I mention this? On Football Weekly with tweets, emails, etc. football.weekly@guardian.co.uk is the email address. Twitter, as you'll recall, it's use the FW Live hashtag. Or you can go through the Football Weekly page. Nerdy says, question four, Jonathan Wilson. Do you think Serbia's lack of a clinical striker... stay with me here. Could hinder their progress. It's obvious the midfield and defence are rather strong, but Zigic doesn't strike me as someone who could lead the line. Jonathan?
Yes, I think that is an issue for them. They've dominated that group with 4 points clear of France for 2 games to go. They should qualify for the World Cup as of right and force France to play off, which is a great achievement.
But possibly they haven't
won games as comfortably as they should have done.
Right.
That said, they've got Pantelic to play alongside Zigic if they want to play 4-4-2, or they've got players breaking from who can break from deeper positions, which is, you know, how the modern game is going, people like Jovanovic and Krasic. So I don't know. You play a clinical forward, possibly lose some of the midfield strength.
Isn't this basic Jonathan Wilson that you don't need a line leading deadly goal poaching?
Yes, I think you can say Zigic is the Serbian Emil Heskey in a curious way.
Yeah. Right.
If they could find the Serbian Carlton Cole, who could be Heskey but score goals, then that would obviously be so much better.
You've been busy on your travels, haven't you? You've been to the Ukraine, you've been to Zagreb, where you had lots
of... Sarajevo, I went to as well.
And Sarajevo as well, yeah. We were talking with all sorts of exciting people. Not least of them, Beyonce, Jonathan.
Yeah, well, I was a bit of a surprise because I went
I
to
bet
the...
she was too.
I went to the opening of the new Shakhtar Donetsk Stadium in the Donbass Arena, which is a fantastic arena. And there was all this kind of, some fantastic choreography and some quite dull oratory. And then there was a concert from Beyonce, which I wasn't expecting. And to be honest, not really my cup of tea. So after about 10 minutes, I left and found a free bar with loads of old Shakhtar players, which is far more my kind of thing.
And she went in?
I was wandering about underneath the stadium afterwards, trying to find where I could interview people.
Yeah.
And inadvertently, there was kind of we ended up in the same corridor, and she expressed the opinion that it was a lovely stadium. And
she said that.
She said that. Yeah.
What did you say?
I said thanks, and then we. She got moved on by her security, I got moved on by my security.
You didn't have time to get Beyonce's views on the demise of the 3-5-2 formation.
No, I didn't. What I will say is, though, she does change clothes remarkably quickly, doesn't she? I wondered whether she had ever considered triathlon.
We happen to meet in a corridor, she changes clothes very often.
No, I meant on stage.
Well, how quickly?
Right. Seconds? Like that, rapidly.
Really? Yeah. I don't change my clothes probably a couple of weeks, once a month.
Is that quickly?
Premier League players all over the country will be disappointed if we don't address some of their results. So let's have a look at one or two other results. Burnley, 2 from David Nugent. In other news, God calls time on planet, end civilization as we know it. Jonathan.
It should be said, although David Nugent scored 2 goals, it was against a defence containing Anton Fernand at his worst.
But they were good goals, huh?
Yeah, but there's bad defending.
Ferdinand's defending for the penalty was majestically announced.
A bad weekend for Ferdinand's in general, would you say?
Rio's
gone to seed.
Do you really think that? I mean, to come back from injury, it takes a few games, doesn't it?
Well, the problem is that he keeps up picking up different injuries, but I think maybe we should...
So this isn't a new David Nugent, anyway. Do you think he's...
Well, but possibly. I mean, he clearly didn't settle at Portsmouth, and confidence is a big thing for all players, particularly strikers. So possibly he will settle at Burnley, back in the northwest.
Right, the other two are now tittering behind our backs, Jonathan. Liverpool won, they beat West Ham. Arsenal beat Wigan. Ooh, that Thomas Vermaelen, he looks quite a signing, doesn't he? How did Rosicki play? Did anyone watch this game? Nobody watched this game. Right then, don't worry, that'll be taken out in the edit. Portsmouth lost at Villa. That's now 6 they've lost on the bounce, 1 away from the top division record. Their new shirt sponsor is an agency for job seekers, appropriately enough.
Yeah. To be fair to them, they actually looked all right in the second. I mean, all right, they were 2-0 down at the time, but they looked okay in the second half.
Yeah, but they always do, don't they? And they...
Well, yeah, but... Yeah.
How bad is it at Portsmouth?
It's pretty bad, yeah. I mean, I feel very sorry for Paul Hart, because he's a nice man and a good manager, but he just doesn't seem to be able to affect what's happening on the pitch.
I don't think anyone could.
It's bad news when your kind of big signing to announce the new takeover is Tommy Smith.
Right. Ed in Manchester says, I think the pod should mention that Cristiano Ronaldo has just scored in the first minute of Real Madrid's game. We'll be talking to Sid shortly. We'll be trying to talk to Sid shortly. And he's actually at the Bernabeu, excitingly enough, watching that very game. So that's going to be a particularly sweet part of today's pod. Now, I mentioned Portsmouth's shirt sponsor. And as I say, it did strike me as appropriate. I was wondering what the most or least appropriate shirt sponsor of all time would be. I had in mind Middlesbrough's use of Garmin last season, the sat-nav company, when they were so appalling on the road. And
I did a thing on this a while back. I
mean, did you?
Well, Clyde Bank, famously sponsored by Wet, Wet, Wet. Which Atletico Madrid was sponsored by the film Spider-Man.
Sorry?
Really?
Yeah. Well, they had a link up with a Hollywood studio.
Right.
Spider-Man shirts. It was quite a good one, yeah.
National breakdown for England back in the Graham Taylor days, wasn't it, or something?
Green flag.
Yeah, but when they first announced the deal, they were still national breakdown. And part of that deal remained national breakdown for a long time. Rob?
You've researched this, haven't you?
No, that just stuck in my mind. I tell you, speaking of Borough, what a result for Roberto Di Matteo's West Bromwich Albion this weekend in the Championship. A 5-0 beating of Borough at the Riverside. What will this mean?
I think it's a really significant result for those three teams at the top. I mean, that it's a real shellacking. And Borough also lost Ali Edier. I think he's been scoring goals and he went off, so it's a massive blow.
I was really surprised no one picked up Chris Brunt from West Brom. He scored two yesterday, one of them a lovely goal from 45 yards. Just think he's a really good player. I was surprised nobody.
And Di Matteo is an excellent manager as well. He did very well at Milton Keynes, and he's a top man.
No, there you go. Well, there he is near the top of the Championship. Newcastle still top after beating bottom place Plymouth. Roy Keane's Ipswich are still without a win in second last place. Sheffield United won the Steel City Derby. They're now up to fifth in the Championship. Also, from the lower leagues, I'm told that Sol Campbell had a particularly happy debut for Sven-Göran Eriksson's Notts County.
Yeah, they lost again, didn't they? Lost away at Morecambe.
Yes.
Third away defeat in a row. And apparently Sol didn't... I mean, he's not played for a while, has he? But didn't have the best debut.
Did he not?
Apparently he did kick someone so hard they had to go off injured.
Well, there you go. That's all very exciting. As I mentioned, there's all sorts of drama going on there in Spain at the moment with Real Madrid taking on Jerez. And we're going to be talking to Sid Lowe about that very, very shortly. We've got all sorts of posts and stuff to get through as well. One or two on the subject of Italy, always a topic dear to my heart. Red Grey Jimbo, what do you think of Marchisio? It seems a very promising young player. I have to think you mean he. But yes, indeed, he is a real gem, one of the emerging stars of Serie A, and scored a brilliant goal yesterday for Juventus in a 2-0 win over Livorno. He's been playing well for Italy as well. Juve, you might care to know, are currently on top of Serie A with Sampdoria. Both teams have won their first four. Sampdoria, that's the first time in their history, Rob Smythe, they've won first four games.
Even in the title-winning league, they didn't blow me.
No, they didn't. No. And Inter, well, they're third. They came from behind to win at Cagliari 2-1. That man, Mourinho, got himself sent off. Two goals in 4 minutes from Diego Milito, who scored 4-4. Thank you to Joey Cunningham for posting in a particularly brilliant little match summary there. I can't believe this. Is this a genuine tweet or post? It's just come in, Sniper Wolfgang, Jimbo, are Sampdoria the new force of Italy? It'd be nice if they were. I think everyone likes a bit of Samp. They're a lovely club from a lovely part of Italy. But no, despite the fact they've got a very good manager, and Antonio Cassano, who is the most technically gifted Italian player of his generation and feels very at home. You're talking about comfortable and confidence and how important that is to a player. Cassano's found a new home for himself there and it's working brilliantly. So I think that they will be in the European positions, but sadly won't challenge for the title, though I'd be delighted to be proven wrong. Now, all sorts of other excitements in Italy, but of course the big thing happening in Serie A coming up tonight when Roma take on Fiorentina. According to the Gazetta this morning, another defeat for Roma would unleash the inferno. And I think it's fair to say that they're not exaggerating because the mood is grim there in the capital. They've lost two of their opening three games. They lost their manager, Luciano Spalletti, after four mostly extremely happy years with him. They've brought in Claudio Ranieri. They promptly scraped a draw at Siena and then lost 2-0 against Basel in the Europa League. To which Ranieri has responded by putting them all in a kind of punitive lockdown training camp and telling Francesco Totti that he needs to change the way he plays because, and I quote Ranieri, even rocks know what his game plan is. Mm. So, not looking good. He says they all need to be gladiators tonight against Fiorentina, who are possessed with all sorts of attacking talent up front. You've got Gilardino and Jovetic, who's very exciting young player. You're familiar with him, Jonathan, I'm sure.
Yeah, Jovetic. Montenegrin is what, about 19 now, is he? 18, 19?
Yeah, I'll go with that.
But yeah, fantastic mullet as well. Good to see that.
He does indeed. And they're going to be taking on Liverpool, I believe, in the next round of the Champions League fixtures, Fiorentina. Yeah. They haven't won in Rome in 17 attempts, if memory serves. But you can see their latest attempt tonight on ESPN, if you're in England or on any station of your choice.
Not as good as the other ones are, the ESPN. But it's all gone really down.
Well, there you go.
You get live Russian football, it's brilliant.
Yeah, but
exactly. Now, I'm being told that we can now dial up our top pal, Sid Lowe, in Spain. Is that Sid Lowe in Spain at the Bernabeu?
Hello, James, how are you?
Hi, Sid. I'm very well. I can hear the sounds of chanting and raucous fan-style behaviour behind you.
Yeah, mostly what you can hear actually is the Cadiz fans. This is the first time they've ever played Real Madrid in the first division. Obviously, they're up for the first time ever in their 62-year history. And they're quite enjoying this. They've had a shot against the bar already and missed a very, very good chance. Trouble is all that kind of has gone to pot a little bit because Real Madrid got the opening goal after 47 seconds. Cristiano Ronaldo was able to pretty much run completely unmolested from the left-hand side of the pitch all the way across the front and score. And since then, it's been Madrid playing and playing and playing and trying to find a way through. As you always get the smartest comments down with the fans, the guy behind me has just complained that Jerez have put the bus on the goal line and then said, in fact, they've got 40 guys there and their mother, which I think is probably cheating.
Well, indeed. Indeed. Although if it was any country it was going to happen, it probably would be Spain. Oh, that was a shout just then. So Real Madrid, at the moment, still just 1-0. With newly promoted Jerez.
We're just coming up to half an hour in the first half. I mean, they've been really, really comfortable. But as I say, Jerez have had a free kick that hit the bar and missed one very good chance. A guy sliding in, I must confess, I can't remember who it was now.
Oh, don't worry.
Didn't quite get to it, 6 or 7 yards out. Yep. But Madrid do look very, very comfortable indeed, as indeed they should. I mean, frankly, I'm almost tempted to say that if Madrid don't win this 6-0, they're absolutely rubbish. Because the difference between the two sides is absolutely colossal in terms of, you know, how big they are as institutions, socially, economically. Mm. Madrid's budget this year, €445 million. A budget that was ratified this morning, in fact, by the Members' Assembly. Florentino Perez sailed through that in a way that, of course, Ramon Calderon couldn't do last year. Whereas Cadiz's budget is €8 million.
Crikey, Sid. But hang on a minute. Real have lots to live up to, don't they? Because Barcelona turned on the star. McNulty stole my wife. Posting in here saying, how about last night's goal fest at the Camp Nou, Sid, where they took Atletico Madrid apart?
Yeah, absolutely brilliant, Barcelona. Where Atletico were poor defensively again, but you know, Atletico went into this in something of a crisis and need to turn it round. 55 seconds in, all right, it's not quite as quick as Cristiano Ronaldo scoring tonight after 47 seconds. 55 seconds in, Thierry Henry absolutely mullered the crossbar. Ball bounced down. Everyone was kind of scratching their heads and going, crikey, what happened there? And within a couple of minutes of finishing scratching their heads, Barcelona 1-0. Really lovely goal from Zlatan Ibrahimovic. And it went on to be 5-2. And all five goals, if you look at them, were really special in their own way. A couple of them are wonderful moves. One of them's a brilliant finish from Messi, the second goal, where he runs through on the goal. He doesn't even touch the ball, but it's enough to put the goalie upside down with his legs in the air like a woodlouse and just kind of run the ball into the net. Barca were very, very good indeed, but Atletico were very poor.
Interesting stuff, Sid. We must thank Rusty Bin, who sent in a brilliant link to you appearing on a Spanish Games commentary, talking in Argentine-accented Spanish earlier this week. It was very impressive.
Oh, very nice. In talking in Argentinian accent, that's something I have been accused of before, and I don't really know why it happens.
Right, okay.
It's not deliberate.
Oh, okay. Very good. Well, listen, enjoy the rest of your game. Anything in particular you're looking forward to in the rest of the weekend or week?
Well, I mean, there's been a couple of big results already. Atletico Bilbao beating Villarreal 3-2 today. That means they're joint top at the moment. They've won all three of their games already so far this season, which is something of a miracle, to be honest. A couple of other big results. And then, of course, in midweek, what we've got, because there's a midweek round of fixtures in Spain, is the return of Manuel Pellegrini, the Real Madrid coach, to Villarreal. Madrid go to Villarreal in midweek. Pretty much the first genuinely tough game they've had so far, although by the mutters from the crowd behind me, I think they're not particularly enjoying this one very much. It's still only 1-0.
You're in the press box, are you, Sid?
No, I'm not. No, I'm down in the crowd with the fans.
Why? Mixing it up, keeping it real, in touch.
Have you got a white handkerchief that you can wave, Sid?
Well, I bought my sunflower seeds, white handkerchief, and there's two or three of those ridiculous air horns knocking around very close to me as well.
Are the sunflower seeds, are they for eating?
Yeah, this is absolutely, I kid you not, Spanish fans always eat sunflower seeds during games. Obviously not every single one of them, but loads and loads of them do. And it's a real art. It's as much as anything else, it's something to do with nervous hands as to eat. But a few years ago when Valencia, I think it was, went to Old Trafford, I was talking to a group of Valencia fans about a week before the game, and they said that, honestly, we couldn't find any stalls selling sunflower seeds, so we went to a pet shop in Trafford.
Excellent. Very, very good. Well, that all sounds terrific, Sid. Thank you very, very much for joining us, and get back to the game.
My pleasure. Thanks, Sid.
Thank you, Sid Lowe. Very good. Now, lots of people have been posting in saying, what's happening in the Bundesliga? Are they still playing, what with Raphael Honigstein being away and that? The good news is they have been continuing with their league schedule, and Raphael will be back, I believe, very, very soon to tell us more about it. I can just fill you in on the fact that Bayern Munich had a 2-1 victory over promoted Nuremberg on Saturday, which has moved them back up to third place. You will recall they had their worst start to a season ever, Bayern Munich under Louis van Gaal. But they've now won three in a row, so they're just 2 points off the lead. Hamburg are up there. So Hamburg, bizarrely, got. But sorry, Jonathan.
No, I was just going to say I watched the Schalke Wolfsburg game on Friday. Which was very enjoyable. Two goals for Edin Dzeko.
Right.
Ending his five-game goal drought, I think.
So you say.
And so, Wolfsburg, they're in danger of losing four in a row, which I think would have been the first time a Bundesliga champion ever done that following season. But they averted that. And, of course, revenge for them on Felix Magath, who walked out on them to join Schalke.
Yeah, lovely. Nice bit of backstory there. And you're also mentioning another, just to throw a ray of light to Chelsea fans who are smarting at their lack of transfer potential next summer. You've got a little name for them.
Well, I'm not sure if it is a ray of light, because Miroslav Stok scored twice today for Twente as they won to go, I think, second in the Dutch league. But of course, Stock's on loan there, so he can't go back until the end of the season. So he can knock in as many goals as he likes this season.
No, but he's a good prospect for next
year. Oh, he's a good prospect, yeah, absolutely. But they can't have him back in January, which I guess they might like.
Just going back to the business of Chelsea and their forwards, because it does seem like that there's maybe an issue for them, especially if someone like Drogba does pick up an injury. Does this weekend in any way illuminate us further as to the real potential and real strengths of the pretenders this year?
I guess so. I mean, we know that Chelsea are very strong and that Man City have some way to go, even though, to be fair, they look very good today and they did have three newish players in defence.
Mm.
And, you know, Arsenal have bounced back a bit, but we know about their weaknesses as well.
I mean, I wonder if we've seen a kind of a weakness of Liverpool, that although Torres scored two goals and looked fantastic again. Defensively, you know, I mean,
Carragher.
Yeah. I mean, he really looks to have lost.
Just an off day?
Well, it's been going on all season, hasn't it? He just looks to have lost his pace, but at least his pace on the turn.
He has always been very slow. Do you remember what Thierry Henry did to him playing for Arsenal, I think in 2004? Absolutely destroyed. I mean, he's that sort of player where if his game drops a bit, he does look exposed.
Mm. George Templeton the Rat, says, I'm not having a go at Rob Smythe, but I ask, does a minimum of 4 minutes of stoppage time automatically mean 4:59? Couldn't it mean 4:01 or 4:10?
Of course it could. But the point is the capacity's there. But even with 4 minutes, you can add 1:20 for Bellamy's celebration and 30 for substitution, which takes you beyond the goal.
Right, okay. Perkins says, I see where the editing magic happens. Not sure what you mean about that at all. But if we're questioning, say, relative weaknesses or defensive frailties, etc., of Liverpool, what about Ben Foster in the Man United goal?
Well, that's a problem. I mean, he was certainly a fault for the first goal. He was certainly a fault for the third goal. And, I mean, Foster's one of those players who, by virtue of being injured, we kind of assumed he'd be really good. And he had this opportunity at the start of this season with Van der Sar being injured to kind of really establish himself. Established himself both in the United side and possibly for England, and he's looked gaff prone.
I think it's a mental issue. I just think that sometimes playing in goal for a club like that can be too much for people. Tim Howard, he's a really good goalkeeper, couldn't quite handle it mentally. I think Foster's the same.
It's a different kind of goalkeeping, isn't it? I mean, when you play in goal for Man United, it's very different to playing for Watford, where you get the chance to show what a good shot stopper you are. He's got to do three things in a half and do them well, and that's a really different skill.
I agree, and he's making bad decisions. It's not so much that he's kind of making handling errors, he's just making bad decisions all the time, really. I think he's out of his depth.
He looks spooked, doesn't he? He looks sort of jittery.
He wouldn't be the first keeper. I mean, Masmut Aibu is regularly touted as the greatest goalkeeping disaster ever to hit English football. But
Didn't Taibbi blame Ferguson for that? Didn't he say he wasn't treated very well? I didn't feel very confident. I mean, do you think they've got a problem?
Well, Taibbi was a bit of a phenomenon when he was back in Italy. He played brilliantly for various small clubs. And it was only when he had two spells at big clubs, one at United, where he was abject.
One at Milan.
And one at Milan, where he didn't do very well either. So,
do you know he was man of the match in half of his four games at United? Sadly, the other two, he was complete disaster. But he was officially man of the match in the first two games.
My word. Nice one, Rob. Well, there you go. Murgundy says, many thanks for the timing of the first ever Football Weekly Live, particularly as the ex will soon come by to take back her laptop. Well, we're delighted we could help you out there, Murgundy. And you too, Oz Gunner. Good luck with your exciting sounding thesis. You've only got about 9.5 hours to go. And that's about it then. Many, many thanks to you for following us. Barney Roney for being here eventually.
Thanks.
And you... Well, I tell you what, I was about to say goodbye to you, Rob, but... But there's been all sorts of flip-flopping vis-a-vis our outro time, and we were being a bit preemptive there. So, Rob, tell us one truth from your two exciting games on this Super Sunday.
One truth?
Yeah.
Michael Owen is finished. Maybe we have to reappraise Michael Owen.
Right, and Giggs too, because there were lots of people that start the season saying, well, Giggs and Scholes, they won't contribute anything in midfield like they used to.
Yeah, they're vital at the moment. But Giggs is playing as well as he's played for 5, 6, 7 years.
Who's the front runner after this weekend?
Chelsea. Chelsea look very, very strong. There are concerns, Jonathan says, and with the depth of their squad, but they look formidable at the moment.
Right. Jonathan?
I still think United will win the league.
My word. Barney?
Didier Drogba, phenomenal today.
Right, okay. I was wondering if you were going to go for a potential league winner, but that's just as good, Barney. That's just as good. It's too early to be talking about potential winners.
Take the
temperature of this exciting season that we've got here. Many, many thanks anyway to you then, Rob, and you too, Jonathan, and the assembled team of producers and boffins there. We'll be back on Thursday with Football Weekly Extra. See you then.
Football Weekly Extra from The Guardian, in association with SportingBet.com.